Good morning. The East Region, my home away from Central. It's great to be back with you guys. I got to give a quick teen camp shout out. Hubba! Hubba! See, guys, I got my Team 8 pink colors on today. I'm representing. That was a lot of fun. Am I speak for everybody? We're just so excited. Isn't it awesome to hear the news about Shakira? Aren't we just thrilled? Aren't we just so excited that she's leaving? Well, I guess it's probably just me. I'm in the Central Region. I lead the Central Region, so I'm thrilled that Shakira's coming, and as well as George, who's also going to be coming in, and Georgia, who's coming in. So there are some of us, a very small handful, that are weeping tears of joy today, even as we say goodbye as a region to Shakira. Let's begin in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. When's the last time you went on an adventure, church? A real adventure. When's the last time? You know, adventure is kind of just one of those words that just sounds big, right? There's something a little bit intimidating about the word adventure, maybe even a little bit overwhelming. But adventures don't always have to be epic. You know, camping. Some of us like to go camping. I'm not a huge fan of sleeping on top of tree roots, but some people really enjoy getting out into the outdoors and just sleeping under the stars, breathing in the fresh air. They like to go camping, and that to them is a grand adventure. I remember my arrival last September. Getting home, getting back to my flat was an adventure most nights as I tried to figure out the massive plate of spaghetti that is the London Tube map. And I would end up in places I didn't intend to go, but I was trying to get home. And so I had kind of a spirit of adventure most nights. Jack mentioned that the current adventure that I'm on this summer, I am searching for the best beach in the UK. And I have visited two beaches. I am 0-2 now in my search for the best beach. We went down to Brighton Beach, and I looked around, and I saw just so many happy faces and so many people that were just excited to be at the beach. And I took one step on the beach, and I found out that not all beaches in the world are sand beaches. Every beach I've ever been to up to this point has been a sand beach, the kind of beach where you step into the sand, and it goes between your toes, and it just feels like a mini massage with each step. Brighton Beach was not quite the massage per step that I was anticipating. There was no sand. There were pebbles the size of cherries. And when you took a step, you would scream in pain. And so that's kind of what I would do. And so I said, okay, well, there's got to be a beach where it's not painful to walk. And so I found myself in Southend on Friday with Jack and Ann and the gang. And I took a step onto the sand, and I was excited because it didn't hurt to walk on the sand. And so I said, well, let's go out into this water. And that was where the pain came. Somebody had apparently dumped knives and broken glass and rocks beneath the surface of the waves. And so I really had a difficult time there walking on the rocks. So I'm still looking. I'm still searching. If you have any suggestions, I'm open. I'm open to hearing where the best beach outside London is. These are kind of just some these are some of life's smaller adventures, right? But then you have adventures that are epic. They are amazing. Daring feats of courage and determination. The North Pole was discovered in 1908 by a man named Robert Peary, and he trekked 360 miles over 24 days through bitter cold and blinding snow. That was an adventure right there. Do we have any history buffs with us this morning? Verrazano crosses the Atlantic in 1524. He lost 3 out of his 4 ships, but eventually explored more of North America than any Europeans the past 500 years prior. He was an adventurer. Elizabeth Gilbert's 2006 adventure led her to Italy, where she gained 20 pounds. It led her to India, where she scrubbed the floors of her monastery and meditated for hours at a time. and finally Indonesia, where she met a man and fell in love. She came home, she wrote a best-selling book about her travels, and named it, everybody with me if you know it, Eat, Pray, Love. That was an adventure right there, Elizabeth Gilbert. One of my favorite films. Anybody seen the movie Into the Wild? I like the movie Into the Wild. It's based on the true story of a young man named Christopher McCandless. And Christopher McCandless was a child of a privileged family. And as he graduates high school, he is so fed up with the decadence and the materialism of the culture around him. And he takes the 1,700 pounds left over in his education account. He donates it all to charity. He burned his IDs, he cut up his credit cards, and set off in search of the open wilderness. Author John Krakauer wrote, "At long last, he was unencumbered, emancipated from the stifling world of his parents and peers, a world of abstraction and security and material excess." McCandless's body was discovered in Alaska 19 weeks later, weighing 30 kilos. That boy, spoiler alert, that boy needed Jesus. But his was a great adventure, getting away and just going out to be amongst God's creation. On the 26th of March, 2012, filmmaker James Cameron built a special submarine and descended 11,000 meters to the bottom of the Mariana Trench near Guam, the deepest known point on Earth. When his steering system failed on the bottom, he recalls the sub rising at 6 knots, the fastest it had ever gone. Still, his rise took 70 minutes, all the way down to the very bottom of the ocean. Charles Lindbergh, we're familiar with Charles Lindbergh. He made the first solo flight over the Atlantic in 1927, flying from New York to Paris. Guess how long that flight took? 34 hours. 34 hours, but it was the first solo flight over the Atlantic. In 1889, 25-year-old newspaper reporter Nellie Bly set out to beat the fictional record set by Phileas Fogg in the novel Around the World in 80 Days, years before airplanes and cars. She left on a steamship to London with only 200 pounds, a satchel of pens and paper, and a few changes of underwear. Bly traveled by train, ship, and coach, and in Sri Lanka, rickshaw. She visited Jules Verne in France, wrote about beggars and snake charmers in the Middle East, Hindu temples and geisha dancers in South Asia, and even bought a pet monkey in Singapore. When she reached the journey's midpoint in Hong Kong, she learned Elizabeth Bisland of Cosmopolitan magazine had set off on the same adventure on the same day in the opposite direction. Sometimes women can be competitive. Can I get a quiet amen from the sisters on that one? You know what I'm saying? And had passed through Hong Kong 3 days ago. Armed with a renewed sense of urgency, Bly arrived home 4 days before her arrival, having gone round the world in 72 days, 6 hours, and 11 minutes. These are just a handful of incredible exhibitions in history. The human spirit has always craved adventure. We get bored, right, if we're in one place for too long, especially when the frontier calls. People want to explore, survive the elements, and discover new things. Few thrills offer the excitement of setting off on an adventure. And when you read the Bible, the spirit of adventure leaps off the page from start to finish. Joshua chapter 1. You with me? You ready for the great adventure? That's our title this morning. I don't think I mentioned that. The great adventure. Joshua chapter 1. It says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We'll stop right there. Over the centuries, irresponsible people have taken the excitement out of the Bible, haven't they? This is adventure right here. God tells Joshua, get ready. You're going on a journey into the unknown. You don't even know where you're going, but I've got it all mapped out. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to be with you the whole time. You're going to see incredible things, and I will do wondrous things before you. So get ready, Joshua. God's message to you, church, this morning is no different than it was to Joshua. He's got a thrilling adventure in store for you. It's an incredible journey with danger and high stakes, epic moments of heroism, opportunities to take a stand, to change the world, and to leave your fingerprint on the face of human history. That's what God offers you here today. So let's dig in here a little bit, okay? Point number one, an adventure only for the courageous. We're going to start out talking about an adventure only for the courageous. You know, this is kind of a funny passage. Once the Lord describes just how far away he's going to take his people, his words to Joshua start to change into kind of a pump-up, inspirational speech. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Now, we're getting a little repetitive here, don't you think? Why do you think God keeps saying that over and over? Well, let's look at Joshua for a moment. Has Joshua ever been in charge of anything? The Bible tells us Joshua fought well in a few battles. He gave a good report when they spied out Canaan. But he's had Moses with him every step of the way. Those are the shoes that he has to fill. Moses, the guy God spoke to in a burning bush, who took on the entire nation of Egypt and freed the Israelites, who parted the Red Sea, who brought drinking water out of a rock. The man God gave his commands to directly on Mount Sinai, whom God spoke to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Moses told God, I want to see you. And God went, okay. And Exodus 33 says Moses saw God for a brief moment. This is the man Joshua has to take the baton from. That's a tough act to follow. Let's look at the land God is supposedly going to give the Israelites in verse 4. This land isn't empty. There's people there. It's their land as far as they're concerned, right? The Hittites, that was an empire. You can learn about them in the British Museum. These are nations with wealth and power and armies. And then finally, you look at Joshua's forces, if you can call them that. Remember back in Numbers 25, Phinehas steps up and he stops the plague against God's people with the immorality going on in the camp. In Numbers 25, God wiped out 24,000 people in Israel. That's a big chunk of your army right there. And God's saying, you're going to take this army, this band of untrained people that have been walking through the wilderness for decades at this point. These are going to be your troops. This is your SEAL Team 6. These are the people that you're going to command. Doesn't really inspire me a whole lot. If these were my army, my people, you can imagine why God keeps telling Joshua to be strong and courageous. Because Joshua's probably freaking out a little bit. You ever felt scared about something you had to do? When's the last time you were actually terrified? I am scared of spiders. I'm going to be vulnerable here for a second. I'm a grown man. I'm 6'4", but when I see a spider, there's just something that just, I freak out. And I don't like spiders at all. You know, if there's a spider to be killed somewhere, I turn into Moses. I'm like, I'm not the man for the job. You know, Aaron could probably kill the spider better than I can. Please don't send me. I don't like the legs and they can move all over the place really quickly. Let me do this. A quick show of hands. Would you rather be covered in, raise your hand if you would, let's see. All right, let me get my public speaking together here for a second. Spiders versus snakes. If you had to be covered in either, put your hand up if you would rather be covered in snakes. I would take snakes. Oh, we might have kind of an even split here. Okay, hands down. If you would rather be covered in spiders, put your hand up. Yeah. More people voted for snakes. Spiders are worst. I'm scared of spiders. Another thing I'm scared of, and they're connected, which is when I pass out from fear. But I'm scared of basements. Anybody else scared of basements? Not all flats have basements here in the UK, but I, as a child, I would be so scared to go down in the basement when I was a child. And we had lights down there, but they weren't like great lights, you know, and there was just all the shadows and the cobwebs and just the places you couldn't really see, but you were sure that there was a man back there somewhere, and he wanted to do me harm. I would literally sprint up the basement stairs because I was so sure that as soon as I hit the light switch, there was going to be a hand that would reach up, grab my ankle, and pull me back down to the basement. Courage is hard. Courage is hard. It's difficult to be courageous in the face of something that scares you. What scares you today? You probably haven't been asked to lead an invasion like Joshua. You may not be scared of spiders or basements, but God is calling you to be courageous. He is. God is calling you to be courageous. You know, maybe you're here for the first time checking out church with somebody who told you that it was going to be great. You know, making room for spiritual growth in your schedule, making room for God, taking time out to go to church, that's kind of a scary thing because you only have so much time in your week. And it's always this juggling act of how am I going to get all the things I got to get done? And now I'm feeling like I need to seek God and I need to search for greater meaning. And these people are talking about the Bible and I've never really done that before, but that's going to take time. Getting coffee and studying the Bible, that's going to take time. Going to church, that's going to take time. Making the decision to make some of these events that are spiritual in your week, make those sacred, make those priorities, instead of fifth or sixth or seventh place where they've been maybe for the past couple of years, that takes courage. Honesty. Honesty, being real. Being an authentic human being with the people around you. That one. That's where I feel like I'm just a big wimp sometimes. Because I feel like, man, if I'm honest about who I really am, if I talk about my sin, if I'm open and real about the temptations that I think about or the bad choices that I make, I bet you this person's probably going to think less of me. How could their opinion of me not go down at least a little bit if I'm vulnerable And I'm telling them that, yeah, I don't have it all figured out. And I blew it big time. The mission. I mean, I think it's easy, right, to on paper to go, okay, this person, person X at my job, person X at my school or in my family, person X will not go to heaven unless they study the Bible and discover who God is. We get that on paper. But in the moment sometimes, at the water cooler or on the tube or, you know, at the parent-teacher meeting, when you're face-to-face with that person X, it doesn't seem as cut and dry and easy. And you feel like, okay, next time I'm going to ask, not this time here, because it feels scary. It feels like I don't want to step out and be bold. I don't want to be courageous right here. Sacrifice involves courage, whether it's your money, sacrificing time in your schedule. Maybe it's a relationship with a non-Christian that you know is not good for you spiritually and that you need to cut out. You need to get open about, talk about, and get rid of, because it's pulling you to a place that you said you'd never go when you built convictions about what it means to follow Jesus. But to actually sever those ties and go, I'm not going there anymore, that's a courageous move. It was awesome to meet and then see in action at camp Taylor Robinson. I'm not sure if Taylor's here this morning, but Taylor's awesome. Taylor Robinson of the East Region, she won Camper of the Year 2016. She represented the East Region in a phenomenal way. But not only did she take home the hardware, she also stood in front of the entire camp and delivered an amazing testimony about who she was before she became a Christian, what it looked like when God moved in her life, and who she was today. I mean, it's one thing to stand up here in front of like some you know, parental figures and like mentors, but to get in front of a teen camp, in front of only your peers, at the age where I was the most insecure my entire life, those weird high school years, she did a phenomenal job, but it took courage. It took courage for her to get up there and go, I don't feel comfortable doing this, but I think God wants me to say a few things. He wants me to share what he's done in my life, and she did a phenomenal job. An adventure only for the courageous. We don't have time to read it, but in Matthew 14, Jesus walks on water, and he really scares the daylights out of the disciples. They think it's a ghost. He says, don't worry, it's me. But he says, take courage. It is I. Peter says, okay, I will take courage. He swings his legs over the edge of the boat and starts walking on water. And it's the only time in human history that a man walked on water. It's a powerful reminder that great things happen when you step out on faith. When you make courageous decisions, God does awesome things. And even if you look down, even if you start to sink for a moment like Peter, guess what? Jesus is right there to catch you immediately. And that's where we pick back up with Joshua. Point number two, the mighty God who always protects. The mighty God who always protects. Here back in Joshua 1, God reiterates the need for strength and courage over and over, but he also reiterates his ever-presence and his protection. Verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 9, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I remember learning to ride my bicycle for the first time. And I had had training wheels on my two-wheeler for a while, and I got very comfortable with my training wheels. But then it became time to take the training wheels off. And I remember how scared I was, but how comforted I was at the same time when Dad was right there behind me. And he would grab my seat, And I felt like I couldn't fall over. I was riding on two wheels. The training wheels were off. But as long as Dad was right there behind me, I felt safe. I felt like I wasn't in danger. And then there was that incredible moment where I started to pedal faster and faster. And I was like, Dad, don't let go. Don't let go. I'm going to go faster. Don't let go. And I look behind and my dad is 30 feet back, waving, taking pictures. And I'm like, I'm doing it, you know, but having God behind us, that's what allows us to be courageous. That's what allows us to be filled up with this sense of zeal and enthusiasm about the plans he has for us. Not only does God promise to be right with Joshua every step of the way, but he promises power and victory. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. Verse 7, that you may be successful wherever you go. You will be prosperous and successful. This is pretty wild. God tells Joshua, you're all set. You are golden. You can't lose. You're going to win every time. Everywhere you go, their land will become yours. You're going to have success wherever you go. No one can do anything to you. That's what he's saying right here. You know what he's promising Joshua? Essentially, invincibility. Invincibility. How many of us have ever played Super Mario Brothers on Nintendo? Classic game right there, right? Either in the arcade or at home. Mario, right? Mario, this Italian dude, man, he's got a dangerous mission. He's only a plumber, but he's got to take on evil mushrooms, evil turtles, piranha plants that bite down like this, ghosts that come out of nowhere, gigantic missiles, and chain chomp. I mean, there's just so many enemies in Mario's path. But ever so often, you play as Mario, and then you get the invincibility star. There's just this star, and it's glowing, and if you can get it, the music changes, you start glowing all these different colors, and nothing can take you out. All the mushrooms, all the turtles, the piranha plants, they can't do anything, and you just run through the level as fast as you can because none of that stuff hurts you when you've got the invisibility star. God tells Joshua, your enemies, they won't be able to touch you. And that's exactly what happens. You know, you read in Joshua 12. There's just a list of defeated kings. 31 different kings are listed that God gave Joshua and the Israelites victory over. 31 kings, 31 armies, 31 empires. God came through. In Romans 8:31, Paul writes, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, the gospel was exploding all over the known world. People were becoming Christians left and right. It was spreading all to the continents of Africa and the Middle East and Europe and the Mediterranean. Paul goes, yeah, of course. Who can stand in the way of God's will? We all desire the same things, don't we? Each of us wants to succeed. We want to excel. We want to accomplish. But we don't always want to do it God's way. Verse 7, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. You know, you want the invisibility star and you just thrash through all your problems. But you don't always feel like obeying God. Sometimes I'd rather turn to the right or to the left. Seems easier. Day and night can seem like kind of a long time to meditate on God's word. But there's a correlation there, a condition. When will you be prosperous and successful? When you've been careful to do everything written in the book of the law. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. The word here is consistency. Consistency. Have you been a student of the scriptures this week? In 1960, my grandfather saw a man reading his Bible over lunch at the car factory, walked up to him and said, "Hey, can you teach me what this book is all about?" This guy was part of the Church of Christ back in Buffalo, New York. Studies the Bible with my grandfather. My grandfather repents. He gets baptized, becomes a Christian. He goes home. He baptizes my grandmother. He goes to his parents, baptizes his folks, my great-grandparents. My mom hadn't even met my dad yet when my grandfather studied the Bible with her because she was working at Chevrolet. He converts my mom's parents. And I had the incredible blessing of growing up in a family surrounded by aunts, uncles, grandparents, moms and dads who were disciples of Jesus. I feel incredibly blessed. But I would wake up for school in the morning. Where's Dad? Dad's not here. Dad would be on his prayer walks around the neighborhood every morning. Mom was there. She was always in her green chair. I would get up, I would go to the toilet, and on my way back, I would come back and give Mom a kiss. She would always be reading her Bible every single morning. I never saw my parents asleep in the morning, or any other time for that matter, until I got older. Then I tried to stay up later than them. Then that was where I would see them asleep. But they refused to let the scriptures depart from their mouths. And that rubbed off on me big time. That was a huge part. I mean, I saw religious hypocrisy in the world all around me, but I didn't see it at home. Because my parents practiced what they preached. And they were big on my sister and I reading our Bibles for 15 minutes every morning. But I couldn't really argue a whole lot, even when I didn't feel like reading, because they were reading as well. They weren't hypocrites. Let me speak to the parents here for a moment. You know, my teen leaders weren't the ones who had the biggest impact on my faith. It wasn't my friends or my peers at teen camp. It was my parents and their example. That's what I saw for years growing up. And the success that they had, the prosperity that they attained, everything that was going well in their lives, as a child, I attributed that to their relationship with God, to the way that they gave and sacrificed for the needs of the disciples around them and in the church. And so I never wrestled with, is this thing legit? Is this authentic or real? Because it was working for my parents. And I never forgot it. Now, if you're visiting today, I want to challenge you. Study the Bible with the person who brought you. There's going to be a moment after the last song. He or she's going to turn to you and say, "Hey, what do you think about studying the Bible?" I encourage you, take him or her up on that offer. Don't leave here today without deciding to get that coffee this week and decide to get deeper into the scriptures. God offered Joshua his power. He offered him triumph. And God holds them both out to you today. God's way does not fail, and those who put him first prosper. Hope this has been helpful. Thanks for having me. That's all I got.
You know, it's good to be reminded of the fact that God has called all of us to an adventure. And the fact is, sometimes we feel like, oh no, I've missed the boat, or the train's left without me. You know, the great thing is that every single day is an opportunity to start afresh. That every single day, no matter where we are at, you may feel like, well, I'm not like the parents that Steve talked about, or the grandparents, or the aunts or uncles. Maybe I've not set the best of examples for my children. That can change today. It may be that you feel like, well, I'm not like Joshua. I don't have the same kind of courage that I need to be able to step out and not be afraid of my enemies. That can change today. The fact is that God has promised, the same promises given Joshua, the same promises given to us, is that he will be with us every step of the way. We just need to take him at his word. And now, wherever you're at in terms of your Christianity, I want to encourage you, make a decision today to really start going by the word of God, to apply it to life, to put it into practice, and see where God will take you. Let's give Steve another round of applause and thank him for a great message. We appreciate that. We are going to go ahead and close our service with one final song. If I can ask the song leaders to come up to the front. Just a reminder again that we are back here in the main school hall on Friday, all of us together. And let's have a great time of fellowship after this final song.